The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Lieutenant General Sean Clancy, Chief of Staff of the Irish Defence Forces. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
It's not a great morning, obviously, for the Defence Forces with the loss of a man in the Lebanon. And it appeared to the casual observer, I suppose, to have come out of nowhere. No great reports of fighting or difficulty for the Defence Forces at this time in Lebanon.
Yes, Pat, you're right. It's not a great day for the Defence Forces. It's been a very difficult night for everybody serving with the 124th Infantry Battalion in UNIFIL. It's been a very difficult night for everybody in uniform in Ogden the Heron, and I think the wider members of the public and the state are waking up to this difficult news this morning. There has been no trouble in the Lebanon. This was a really unexpected incident. It's a very tragic incident which has led to the loss of a soldier, a colleague of so many. Its impact at this time of the year in particular on the family of that soldier and on the wider diaspora that would know him, but also on, I suppose, the Defence Force as a whole.
Now, the nature of what happened, I mean, the accounts in some of the newspapers are not as clear as you'd like them to be, but it does seem, and I've done the run myself when the old Camp Shamrock was there, the run from the airport in Lebanon to what was then Camp Shamrock, and it was a fairly routine run, but not one at that time, many years ago, that was not without its tensions, shall we say.
Yeah, you're right, Pat. Like, we undertake peacekeeping operations. We've lost a peacekeeper today. It's done in an environment, in a volatile region. That's why we're there. There is inherent risk in that. As you say, this particular run and this one of last night was an administrative run to Beirut. So the two cars left the battalion area of operations and they were transiting in the vicinity of Al-Aqabiya, where this incident occurred, which was outside the area of operations. And the two cars travelling in convoy became separated. There was what I would describe as a mob, which became aggressive. Small arms fire was received, and we took casualties as a consequence. This is an incident that we would not have foreseen in terms of, as you say, anything of this nature in terms of freedom of movement had been on the lower scale. This certainly escalates matters to a significantly in terms of risk. And we will, of course, review our security arrangements and assess it when we are able to step back from this particular incident and look at things more in the round. But today our focus is very much on the family of the soldier that has been killed. It's very much focused on the three other members that were in the vehicle at the time. One of them is in critical care right now. He's out of surgery. We have moved those three people to the UN hospital in Hamoud from the hospital area where they were. They received very good treatment there. They're with in the company of our medical officer and our chaplaincy service, our deputy commander out there. The remains of our colleague and friend stayed in the Ray Hospital, and some of his colleagues have remained with him, and they will do so until we get him back, and we will get him back as soon as we possibly can. These are the initial reactions that we must and have to do to ensure that we take care of our people, because our people are the most important part of this whole thing. I spoke to the battalion commander this morning. The battalion themselves are obviously in shock, but at the same time, they're resolute in their view that they must complete their mission. They're there as peacekeepers, and they will be not deterred from their role and their responsibilities while they're there. The 124th Infantry Battalion under Lieutenant Colonel Damien Murphy have been doing an exceptional job since they arrived in UNIFIL in early November, and they are determined to continue that, if nothing else, to honour their colleague.
I presume as part of the preparation to go to any area where there is conflict and where peacekeeping is required, that soldiers, the men and women, are made aware of the possibility that they will be attacked, and the possibility that they may lose their lives, even though it has been almost two decades since an Irish life was lost.
Yes, it's been 2000 since we lost anybody in the Lebanon, Pat. And yes, it's all part of what we call the inoculation training, that all soldiers, sailors and air crew that are participants in this battalion and previous battalions that have served there, they undergo this specific training for the month leading up to the deployment. And that's down to actually to the very level of live fire training, where they experience the environment and encounter live training and their drills and what we call the tactical procedures to evade and evacuate from those areas or to respond to them. So all of those are innately done. All our soldiers are trained to the highest professional standards. They maintain those standards and they execute those standards when they're in the mission area. And I have every confidence, and I've always had every confidence and pride in our soldiers that do participate in overseas missions when they put themselves, as you say, in the name, in the service of the state abroad in such volatile, often volatile and risky environments. And we mitigate all of those risks through the professionalism, through the equipment and through how we prepare our people.
Now, the reports suggest that the vehicles, the two vehicles which were armoured, were not following or had to divert from their normal route for some reason and wandered into an area that is controlled by the Hezbollah, and that's how the difficulties arose. But it would appear from the reports, and perhaps you can confirm this, that they had been followed by persons unknown and that caused the diversion.
Pat, one, I can't confirm that because I'd be quite frank if I can. You know, we're at a very early stage of investigation. I will only deal with facts. I won't deal with speculation in these matters because they're particular, sensitive, and it's very important that we get an accurate reflection, an accurate picture. We have developed a lot of that picture already, and we will continue to do so. But until we have a fulsome, accurate picture, I can assure you, we won't be telling any media outlets or anybody that is in the game of speculation that you might have heard from. We won't be providing that to anybody until we're certain to ensure that our colleague and those that were involved in this instance have the total confidence in what we will do for them in ensuring that the record shows what actually happened here to them last night.
And the soldiers, were they actually, you mentioned this was an administrative trip, were they actually heading home for Christmas?
No, they weren't, Pat. There was, standard practice is to have two vehicles always travelling together in this environment, as you can appreciate is a necessity. Two of the individuals travelling in that were returning home on compassionate grounds because they had members of their family and extended family that had died. And we will always take care of our people in that regard. And we were giving them repatriating them on compassionate grounds for a short period of time before they returned to the mission area. That was the mission that they were undertaking last night. And that's why it was administrative in nature, running to the airport.
Yeah. And that it would always be the case that even if only one person was traveling, heading to the airport for whatever reason, they would be accompanied by that kind of armed force for their protection.
There would always be a two vehicles convoy minimum, Pat, and armoured utility vehicles in this instance, yes.
Yeah, because I had been there so many years ago, I still have vivid memories of what it was like travelling from Camp Shamrock into Beirut and stopping off where at that time, I'm not sure what the protocol is now, but coming to the outskirts of Beirut, there was a place where all the weapons were surrendered. And then you entered the city and went about whatever business you had. And then on the way back to Camp Shamrock, the weapons were picked up again and the vehicles proceeded. That's how it was. But even in those times, as I said, the tension and the sense of alertness on the part of the military personnel I was with was palpable. Anyway, it is a very sad day when you take one life from Óglaigh na hÉireann, you wound everybody in your organisation.
Absolutely. And it's a wound that's deeply felt in the organisation. And it's felt, of course, by the family of our colleague and all his friends. And I think everybody in Óglaigh na hÉireann, everybody that wears a uniform, and I think everybody in the state probably has a sense of that today. And thank you for giving us the opportunity, Pat, to just express that.
Yeah, and we would like, on behalf of ourselves and all our listeners, to extend our condolences to the family of the soldier who lost his life and our sympathies to the others who were caught up in this tragic and murderous incident. Lieutenant General Sean Clancy, Chief of Staff of the Irish Defence Forces, thank you very much for joining us. Well, Cathal Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South, is listening to that conversation. Cathal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
When I was talking to the Chief of Staff there about how unexpected this was, because we've been consumed, I suppose, by the war in Ukraine and the fallout from that, and had not thought of other trouble spots in the world, how tense were things in Lebanon?
Just devastating news for the defence community this morning, Pat, and just want to extend my deepest sympathy for the family involved. Tensions in Lebanon, to answer your question, yeah, they have been rising for sure over the last number of months and last couple of years. Obviously, the spillover from the Syrian conflict has affected Lebanon a lot. Very similar pressures that we have here now in relation to cost of living. The currency has collapsed in value, cost of fuel. So there's a lot of, I guess, lower level anger in the country. But really what the issue here is that there's more armed elements in Lebanon that are not under control of the government. And it appears in this situation that one of these armed elements or these armed groups were involved. Small Irish convoy was surrounded by a crowd, and the situation rapidly escalated thereafter.
Yeah. Now, trying to understand, to get a handle on, you know, what the attitude is to UN peacekeeping forces in Lebanon. We know that Irish battalions over the years and people have been there and back many times as volunteers have been involved in charities in the area. And, you know, we're always told that the softly approach of the Irish peacekeepers made friends. But I'm just wondering why the Hezbollah, if that is the group that is responsible for this, why they would want to target people who really are not there to do them harm.
Yeah, so firstly, as you said, we don't know which armed group was involved here. The Irish would be very well respected in Lebanon, particularly in their area of operations, which would be down south in the vicinity of the Israeli border. The issue here last night was the Irish patrol, the very small convoy, was outside its area of operations and was heading towards Beirut, so perhaps the Irish UN would not be as well known in that area. It appears to have taking place in an area which is at least semi-controlled by one of these irregular militias, and that's pretty much where the issue commenced. So when the crowd, you know, surrounded the vehicles, it rapidly escalated from there, and unfortunately we took a fatality and a number of casualties as well. And I'd like to wish a speedy recovery to those involved and the people who are inside in hospital getting treatment at the moment.
Cathal, will you stay with us for a moment? Your line is a bit difficult, so we'll just try to improve that line. So we'll take a quick break.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, I'm talking to Dr. Cathal Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South, himself an Army veteran, having served in the Army Rangers, the elite unit, and has served, among other places, in Lebanon. Cathal, good morning again.
Good morning again, Pat. Much better line. Yeah. Thank you.
Much better line. Absolutely. Tell me about your time in Lebanon and what the atmosphere was like and how alert soldiers had to be at all times.
Yeah, so I think my last time there was about 4 years ago, 2018. And we were basically deployed to northern Israel, to Lebanon and into Syria and towards Damascus as well. So, look, it's a very volatile region all around the part of the Middle East. It was specifically destabilized as a result of the Syrian conflict. So you've large movements of people in and out through borders. It's a very volatile region, and that's why we have 333 Irish peacekeepers in UNIFIL, because they're needed there to stabilize the area right up to the Israeli border and to support the Lebanese government.
Now, explain what the daily job is for these soldiers and how often they literally go into harm's way.
So basically, Irish troops are deployed there most commonly on a six-month tour of duty. So they pretty much spend 6 months there, and they might get home for maybe a fortnight leave in between to see their families back in Ireland. But as a general rule, they're deployed for 6 months, and they're deployed right up to the Israeli border. So their focus really is to support the Lebanese government and also stabilize the area and to provide somewhat of a buffer zone between Israel and Lebanon as well. So that's their main focus. They spend most of the time observing, reporting any ceasefire violations, and constant patrolling both at day and night.
And the question of coming under fire, would that have been something that routinely happened or something that was very occasional? I'm trying to get a handle on why the UNIFIL vehicles would be seen as such a target by, it appears, a local population who got angry and then, for some reason, armed elements took advantage of that and attacked.
Yeah, so Irish troops and Irish vehicles, they haven't taken fire or hostile fire for many years in Lebanon. There has obviously been stressful events, and there's been times of high tension, but this is the first time in a long time that they've actually been directly targeted and directly attacked. The area where the incident occurred appears to be more of an area where irregular militias that are not under the direct control of the Lebanese government, where they kind of operate. And if you stray or if you travel through those areas, it's a much higher risk. And what we've learned from preliminary reports is that it appears that a large crowd gathered around the small Irish convoy, and the situation escalated from there, and shots were fired. And unfortunately, the Irish troops took a fatality and three casualties as well.
The protocol in a situation like that, where you're surrounded by a crowd of, I suppose, civilians. Now, this was reported to be 9 o'clock Irish time or just after. So therefore, a couple of hours later in the Middle East. So we're talking about quite late at night. The protocol, would it be to kind of get out of your vehicle and try to calm things down, or to stay in your vehicle?
Yeah, it depends on the situation. So these two vehicles would have been up-armoured Toyota Land Cruisers. So there's a certain amount of protection provided in that vehicle. As a general rule, your plan A, if you come across an ambush or a situation like that, would be to stay in your vehicle and to try and either negotiate your way or to navigate your way or to extract yourself by vehicles as soon as possible. So it's called an anti-ambush drill, really. And so one of the cars seems to have escaped unscathed, but unfortunately the second car were the ones who took all the hits, unfortunately. So to answer your question, there is a very, very laid down, straightforward anti-ambush drill that would be drilled into Irish troops, even here in Ireland. So if an incident like this occurred, that they would just kick into their training and get out of there as soon as possible.
Now, the four people involved in the second vehicle that was attacked were moved to hospital. Do we know anything at this stage as to what happened in the immediate aftermath of the attack? Because obviously the attack happened very quickly, and presumably the gunmen exited the scene very quickly to allow the rescue mission of the four to happen.
Yeah, we don't have any specifics, Pat, unfortunately, at all. And presumably that may have occurred, and extra UN personnel might have deployed to the scene. And then obviously the fatality and the three casualties were extracted for medical attention. So as the Chief of Staff was saying just a few minutes ago, we do have three wounded personnel, two very minorly wounded, and one obviously is still serious or critically, and he's post-op surgery at the moment. So we wish them all a very speedy and safe recovery.
Now, there will be those who will say that Ireland should just not get involved, since we've taken a fatality the first in two decades. What do you say?
Well, it's very, very important that Irish troops remain where they are at the moment, conducting their very important work. We've seen from Ukraine that conflicts can spread rapidly, and there's a spillover effect to Ireland. So not only is it in Ireland's international obligations to keep our troops there, but it's in Ireland's national self-interest as well to make sure that conflict in the Middle East doesn't break out, that it doesn't spread, and it doesn't affect Ireland. So there's incidents like this confirm the absolute need to keep our troops there and to stabilise that particular volatile area.
And really, the last area is about peacekeeping, which is how we have always described our soldiers abroad. But it has morphed sometimes into peace enforcing. Which is this now in Lebanon?
So it's a peacekeeping mission there, primarily in UNIFIL. They're there at the request of the host nation, which is Lebanon, and they're under a United Nations Security Council mandate as well. So as a general rule, the peacekeepers there would be very well accepted by the local population. But again, this incident occurred outside the normal area of operations and maybe in an area where they wouldn't be as familiar with UN troops. So that's probably one of the contributing factors in this regard. Mm.
And finally, Carl, just to go back to what I was referring to, my own trip to Lebanon all those years ago, is it still the protocol that once you enter the city of Beirut that UN arms are surrendered and then retrieved when exiting?
Certainly it wasn't the case in 2019, so I very much doubt that's the case currently. It was perhaps a protocol when you were there maybe a decade ago, or how long ago that was, Pat, I'm not sure, but I don't think it's the case at the moment.
Yeah, it was the old Camp Shamrock, which was subsequently taken apart. There is a new camp. What is it called? Do you know?
It's just call sign 245 is the name of it. It's the radio call sign, and that's the main Irish base. And it's about maybe 3 hours drive from Beirut Airport, depending on the traffic situation. So to answer your question specifically, so if Irish troops are armed, they surrender their weapons to absolutely nobody under any circumstances. Their weapons will always stay with them.
Carl, thank you very much. And once again, we want to reiterate our sympathies and our condolences to the family of the man who was killed, and our sympathies to the families of those who were injured. Carl Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South, thank you very much for joining us.
On News Talk.